My name is Peter Bromberg. I'm the Assistant Director of the South Jersey Regional Library Cooperative. And it is my honor and pleasure this morning to introduce our speaker, Karen Hyman, for her program Shortcuts to Greatness, or 10 Things That Great Libraries Know and Maybe You Don't. So I'm going to read Karen's bio, and then I'll ad-lib a little bit. Karen Hyman has worked in public libraries as a state library consultant, as executive director of the South Jersey Regional Library Cooperative, where she developed services for 600 member libraries. Her chief inspiration is her role as a library user, which clears the vision wonderfully. Doesn't it, when you go into a library as a user? Karen's 12-step reinventing your library programs have been a feature at every Public Library Association conference since 2000. Now, that's what the slide says. Now, this is what I say. Karen is my boss, and I am privileged, honestly, to work with Karen. She is the greatest strategic thinker I have ever met, not just in libraries, but on this earth as I've walked it. She is, in addition to my boss, she has been a great teacher, a great mentor, and a great friend to me. And I am really honored to be able to introduce her here for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Karen Hyman.
Oh, that was great. We sponsor a Toastmasters group at SJRLC, and we always have to guard the podium. That's our big thing. You must always shake hands. You never just walk away. So we don't usually do the kiss, so that was special for today. All right. So this is certainly a long railroad car of a room, isn't it? What gives your library? Today we're going to explore what gives your library the best chance for continuous success through the many generations of technology people. Bad times, good times. We feel good times could come back. Maybe. Maybe not in my lifetime, but what can jumpstart your library's moves to greatness? So who's here? How many administrators do we have here today? Oh, terrific, terrific. All right, adult services, reference, children's, teens, the true realists of this world, right? Technical services, systems managers, that kind of thing, money people, financial, regional people. There's few of us left. Yes? All right, who am I forgetting? Circulation, where the rubber hits the road, in customer service. Couple, they didn't let you come, right? Trustees, library trustees. Oh, terrific. I love to speak to trustees groups. They're my favorite. All right. Who is here who has already heard one of my talks? Yes. So I have changed this one. And if you are hoping I will say things you liked from previous years, I can't just keep saying the same thing. So I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to choose all that apply. If multiple ones apply, you can just keep your hand up. Number one, I am excited about the possibility of my library making doable moves to greatness. Okay. Number two, I am demoralized by the recent budget cuts at my library. You can raise two hands. You can be excited and demoralized. Number three, I am skeptical, but I already paid for this conference. Right? Got to go somewhere. So, you could be, I can tell who's here from New Jersey, because we could be excited, demoralized, and skeptical. Simultaneously, my premise is that excellence and history of support are not working as well as they used to. It is frightening to read. You know, in the same week, you find out Sandra Bullock's husband thinks he could do better. And some city thinks they could do better, which is why they want to close branches in a library that used to print money. You know, that was perfect. Smoke and mirrors and inertia are not working as well as they used to. Some of us got our money right because they were used to giving it to us, and it's not like it was that much. For many of us, fun is in short or at least shorter supply than it has been. Moving toward greatness, on the other hand, was never more necessary, more rewarding, and more entertaining. Doing things you really believe in, while you're still doing them. is pretty terrific and still doing things, finding the energy to do different things, to try more things, even when appreciation is in a bit short supply. Never more important. Today's shortcuts to greatness are conceptual, subjective. I made them up myself. Right? So they're the things that I think are great, doable at various levels. This will not be one of these, you know, if you had a $20 million new building, that would be good for you. I think it would. Visible, because when things look different, it's hard to be the same when it looks different. Scratching the surface, just scratching the surface in the most useful ways possible, and dedicated to the principle that progress is still possible, whether times are tough, whether they're cutting you or not. My goal is that as a result of this session, you will go home and try something different. What makes a library great? Some traditional answers you will find in those articles about America's top libraries. When they say to the person, why do you think your library is so great? And they say, well, I have an excellent committed board, extremely supportive town government, beautiful new building, wonderful staff, everyone's fabulous. Substantial funding from public and private sources, wildly enthusiastic public, skews a little older, who love libraries and reading, very, very high use. I put this in the news you can't use category because, you know, hey, sounds nice, right? If you have all of these things, you might want to keep it quiet. And you might want to remember that things change. There's not a thing on that list that doesn't change. Well, maybe not. Maybe the building will stay, right? Maybe, yes, but you know. Okay, so we're going to have 10 truths today instead of 12 steps. All the rest of them have been 12-step programs, but I feel we have, once you get up to 60 steps, I think you have probably exceeded your limit. Truth number one, great libraries have great leadership. There is no alternative. What is a great leader? I started with, I think, 72 factors in 10-point type. But I got it down to 6, I think. Great leaders set an inspiring and effective vision. How many of you were at the program You Say You Want a Revolution yesterday? Hey, a lot of you, right? That's right. Pam sets an inspiring and effective vision, you know, one that you can keep in mind and think. Are confident they can notice and fix what doesn't work. So you try things. How do you notice what doesn't work as a great leader? Well, you actually come out, walk around, look at things. You listen to people. You have teams. You try things. Have courage. Take care of business. Great leaders are visionary, but they are also people who notice if a large leak has taken place, causing a big puddle in front of the circulation desk. So not too visionary. Ask questions and listen to the answers. Model the behavior they want from others. Great leaders model that behavior. In other words, great leaders are high in emotional intelligence. There's a lot of writing on emotional intelligence. I have a little citation there for you. You know, there is a place in this world for the lone wolf. You know, the brilliant lone wolf. But it is probably not leadership in public libraries. In fact, I'm sure of it. So, great, can you develop emotional intelligence? Well, some of it you're born with. But they say people get better at self-awareness, self-regulation, empathy, social skills as they get older. So right there, we're 50% of the way. Some of us, a higher percentage. If you want to be a great leader, you start by setting the bar high for yourself. Your place can be a great place. As somebody who has 600 member libraries, what are the great ones? You know, they're the ones with the great leaders. They're not always the ones with the most money, the most anything. Set the bar high for yourself and learn all you can. Read leadership materials, read management books, find coaches among mentors, colleagues, and staff. Who was at the preceding program, How to Be a Great Boss? You know, great way to learn if you're a great boss is to ask the people who report to you and want to know, give the impression. You actually do want to know. So how's it going? How's it working? How's it working here? Notice and eliminate energy depleters. These are my naturals. Hand-wringing over the past, negative predictions about the future. Because things will go wrong, right? Remember that courage is a choice, not a personality trait. Courage is a choice. If you're shy, if you're nervous, if you came from people as I did who say, don't stick your neck out, right? Courage is a choice. If you want to have great leaders, if you are sitting here in this room and saying, yeah, that'd be great. If you want to have great leaders, remember their greatness is in your self-interest. Their leadership skills are developed through your observation and your feedback. You know, if they don't want it, maybe they could learn to want it. Many people have not wanted the wonderful feedback I have provided them with over the years. But you know, hey, that's my price for living. That's my job, is to say, you know, with all due respect, this is not working. Perfect leaders, like perfect mothers, are fictional. You know, you may work with somebody that it's never going to work for you. And there is the beauty, since you can't change the mothers quite as easily. You know that sometimes, but everybody, nobody has the relationship they want with another person. Not a spouse, not a child. Everybody has whatever relationship they can create. What can you create to make your boss into a leader? At the least, growing yourself can make other people better, or at least look better. You know, you start where what you can fix. Visionary leadership, truth number two, relies on wonderful staff. There is no alternative. So to people I have carpooled with over the years who say, the staff, terrible, clueless. You know, so I say, so how's it going at the library? Well, pretty well. Well, gee, I guess they're doing something, aren't they? Visionary leadership. You want passionate, enthusiastic staff. How do you get these people? Step one, hire them. I know you probably don't get to hire people that often, but when you do, there is no excuse for hiring anybody who is any less than passionate and enthusiastic and making sure that's in that job description. Not the, like, I will do all the technical things and, hey, you know, maybe I'll have a personality. Inspire, liberate, and cherish the staff you have. Your frontline staff are your heroes. They have to be your heroes. If they're not your heroes, maybe they're not being inspired, liberated, or cherished enough. People can surprise you. You know? Make passion and enthusiasm driving values of your organization. These are our values. These are not, you know, the fine personality traits of two people who work. This is from AnyThink, Rangeview, Colorado Library System, and I got to see a lot of their new job descriptions. And some common attributes in everybody's AnyThinker job descriptions, or at least as they were when I got them, you engage well with others and are passionate about providing exemplary customer experience. You're a team player who thinks quickly on your feet. You're excited about the prospect of growing and learning in a changing environment. Wouldn't you want to work there? I mean, doesn't that sound terrific? On the other hand, I have certainly interviewed people who would look at that and say, what? You know, I don't want to work in a growing, learning. I interviewed somebody once who had wanted to be in the Army, but she had some health issues, so she thought libraries would be very, very similar in terms of order, discipline. Yeah, so she wouldn't have cared for that. But there's, you know, that you're saying right off, and this is everybody. Doesn't everybody need this? You know, doesn't somebody who shelves books, drives a van, directs the organization? What really motivates people? In the inspire, liberate, and cherish business. A great work, Netflix says, people are motivated by a great workplace is the chance to work with great colleagues, people you can respect and learn from. So it builds, you know. as opposed to people whose cars depress you when you drive into the parking lot in the morning. Right? You know, inspiration comes from your surroundings, progress, clear, meaningful goals, resources, encouragement, according to Harvard Business Review, autonomy. Responsible people thrive on freedom. This is, I think, one of the nicest talks on motivation I've heard is Dan Pink on and one of those TED Talks. And you can find them at TED.com, and they're short talks that authorities give, sometimes on things like how I mow my lawn. But in this case, Dan talked about what motivates people. Years and years of research shows people do things because they matter. It motivates people to do things because they're interesting, because they're part of something important. What doesn't work? We know it doesn't work for even the most rudimentary cognitive skills, the carrot and the stick. Does not work. Which is good, right? Because we're a little slim on the carrots, and the stick doesn't work too well either. Right? So these things don't work. You can probably get somebody to show up with the carrot and the stick, although not always. Truth number three, visionary leadership and great staff can create a great culture. Culture is how an organization actually operates. You need a culture that supports innovation, flexibility, and quality execution. So there's the yin and yang up there. Because flexibility and quality execution don't necessarily go together. That's what makes it fun. A culture that supports effective teamwork, a culture that avoids rigidity, politics, mediocrity, complacency, and the aura of failure. Failure cannot always be avoided. But looking like you failed is totally different. Right, than actually failing. We used to, in New Jersey, it used to be part of our little shtick. We would go to talk to politicians and we would start by explaining they hadn't increased our budget since fiscal year 1989. We finally had a nice guy who said to us, "Don't say that. So what were you doing since fiscal year 1989? How come you never got any money when the times were good?" You know? So the aura of failure, not a winner. How many of your libraries have vision, driving values kind of statements? Really? How many? Oh, well, then I won't have to ask how many of you remember them and use them. That would be almost nobody, right? Okay. Well, then I have really great opportunity here. Enron had a nice sounding value statement. With four values, integrity, communication, respect, excellence. The four values were chiseled in marble in the main lobby. But as Netflix tells us, had little to do with the real values of the organization, the sort of thing they don't chisel in marble. Values are what we value. Values are what we value, whatever it says, you know, whether it's chiseled in a big sign now in New Jersey, it says, motor vehicles will make your day. Uh-huh. According to Netflix, values are shown by who gets rewarded, promoted, or let go. So if you are sitting there and you are thinking, well, you know, we don't have very many rewards available, and we don't have any promotional opportunities, and it's impossible to fire anyone. Well, then there you are. That's your values, you know. And maybe it is hard. All of those things are challenging, but you know, they go bowling in range view. That's a reward. It's fun. You know, define promotion. Promotion could mean a lot of things. Values are shown in how we treat the people who work in our libraries, those who walk in the door, and those who don't use the library yet. I mean, those are your values. But to have something a little more concrete, I think organizations need an inspiring and effective vision. They don't have to be brilliantly innovative. It's better if they're not. Our short are focused on the community served. Our vision is not we will be the Taj Mahal of. Inspire key players, customers, non-users, funders, staff, and meet their needs. Set an easy-to-understand direction, context, values for the organization are not mystical in nature. Here are some that I just like. Columbus Metropolitan Library's vision is a thriving community where wisdom prevails. Right? It's a thriving Columbus. Glen Carbon Centennial Library, I bet a lot of you saw the LJ cover. They are, you know, they got picked this year, best small library in America, and their vision is more than you expect. I mean, talk about something you could use. You know, when you're coming up with these ideas, well, people come in and they would like to renew this book one more time, and they're pretty sure it has not left the library since the Truman administration. They're homeschooling. And you say, well, sorry. And you remove it from their clutching hands. Well, that wouldn't be more than they expect, right? You know, so you could actually think, wow, if we were more than they expected, would we be doing this? Anything, we open doors for curious minds, right? It's about them. Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library, your place. Stories you want, information you need, connections you seek. Doesn't that just make you want to move to Topeka? I'm telling you, I have a bigger page of theirs. It's even more wonderful. Ann Arbor Library District. Anybody here from Ann Arbor? I have to read you this whole thing. A strategic plan adopted in 2004 set us up to develop a culture of generosity in our library system. Everything that has happened since evolves from a simple mantra, get to the yes with the patron customer. Generosity is just a heck of a word. You don't earn generosity, right? By dancing to our tune or anything. If our intent is always to say yes, then we will do more than expected most of the time. And the response has been a tremendous surge in almost all of our services. The naysayers to this philosophy use fear of the what ifs or might happens to deter generosity. We were told if you don't limit renewals on available items, if you don't limit requests on available items, if you don't require registration for programs, if you don't, then people will take advantage of you. Well, yes, some will, but most do not. We have chosen to act in acknowledgement of the overwhelming majority of people who use the library respectfully. The payback in terms of goodwill and support is outstanding. It's also more fun to say yes. Now, you're all thinking, I got two people working there. They love saying no. Right? Their life is saying no. But that can't be your culture. It's also more fun to say yes. Try it. Works. To build a great culture, involve staff, users, non-users. Set an inspiring vision. West Palm Beach, where Pam, Sandley, and Smith used to be. What were they, the nicest library in America? Is that an inspiring vision? As people think, gee, would the nicest library in America do this? Develop core competencies and expectations of everyone at all levels. If everyone's going to be enthusiastic and passionate, that would include even the administrators. Reinforce the vision in job descriptions, hiring, assignments, library PR, websites, and everyday choices. I look at people's websites looking for great vision statements, especially when I have heard that this particular library has a great statement, and I cannot find it. You know, they have their mission, the endless mission, to promote and provide for improved services to people, blah, 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 blah. And it's, you know, so put, my gosh, if you have something that good, make sure everybody can see it. Truth number four, the library belongs to the customers. Visionary leadership and great staff are there to make the experience that the customers love there is no alternative. There is no alternative. If we aren't the public library that people want, that's A, their fault. Hey, these people are clueless. Right? What do they know? B, town government's fault. You're already better than they deserve. Okay? C, the former director's fault. You can keep that going for quite some time. I'll just clean up after this person. Or D, our fault. Marilyn Boria from Elmhurst in Illinois, one of my great management gurus, said, you know, all the greatest truths are the simplest. If we're not the library that people want, that's our fault. Right? Figure it out. Basic premises, we adjust to them, not vice versa. Customer focus means reaching out and continual renewal. You know, things change. Ask any of the teen librarians who raised their hand here. Right? You did something 2 years ago. People loved it. And now you think, maybe I could recycle a piece of this. And the teens say, you know, you're killing me. I'm not coming to that. I mean, man, you loved this before. Your library is as friendly as your least friendly public service employee. Oh, get a little groan there. Mother's Day is over. What is Mother's Day? Mother's Day is the belief in libraries that we not only want people to do what we want them to want to do it. We want them to see the light. Because, come on, and only a lowlife wouldn't follow your rules anyway, right? So who needs them? Mother's Day is over. Customer-focused libraries get to first base. Ditch the rules, burn the signs, observe and respond to cultural shifts. You know, big cultural shift is, I had little children. If a little child misbehaved in any way, you were supposed to pick them up and take them out of church, restaurants, libraries. Well, that's changed, hasn't it? And it's going to keep on. That's the way it is. How will we work with that? Observe and respond to cultural shifts. Choose your fights. Some problems don't need to be solved. Rethink your fines or at least your message. Stop charging fines. And if you can't stop charging fines, at least stop the kind of, you were a bad person. They like to tell me, you could have called to renew this. No, I could have, but I didn't remember I had it. You could have renewed it online. Yeah, but that would have involved the remembering again. You know? Show respect and affection for your customers. Respect. Look around. You got any of those signs with no something, with like the red line through it? No phones, no something. You know, that's a lack of respect. Deciding the perennial issues that we spend so much time talking about, noise, cell phones, food, in favor of the 20th century customer who will make noise, talk on their phone, and eat in the library, frees up your time and energy for other things. That can make a bigger difference. This, I love this page. This is Topeka Public Library's The Next Decade. Not only, they have so much of their planning things. You want to do, people ask me to be a planning consultant, and I say I don't do that. But why don't you look at the Topeka and Shawnee County Library page? Yes, and they have so much of their planning stuff right there. You know, their plan, their ideas for the staff, their goals, like things like move stuff around faster, get stuff to, you know, things you could actually understand instead of increase the percentage of materials that arrive in a timely fashion. You know, look at this. Our vision, you know us, we know you. We are on your speed dial, just like your best friend. The library is part of your daily life. We're friends on Facebook. You visit us in person and on the digital branch. You trust us. You're proud of us. You inspire us. We see you learning new technology, doing business, enjoying a good book. You can't read enough for us. Your library card is always in your wallet. You're reading more. Our commitment enhances your life. You know, is this terrific? or what? I would read this, I would get a whole different feel of that library. And Gina has a wonderful thing where she talks to them. You can click on the thing. And she talks about knowing how to be a librarian. But, you know, coming there and knowing, how do I learn to be the best librarian for Topeka? You know, I would be touched to see this as a resident. A loyal customer from the book, Jeffrey Gittimer's Customer Satisfaction is Worthless. Customer loyalty is priceless. A loyal customer feels great about dealing with you, has needs that are consistently met or exceeded, will proactively talk about you, will rave about you, will tell people, this is terrific. If you're getting budget cuts, you're seeing that the satisfied customer is saying, oh, wow. So where else would I get this? You know, as opposed to whom do I speak to say, you were great, your service was great, the experience was great. That's what we have today. Vancouver Public Library. I have great pictures of their Working Together project, which you can still see online at that address. It says that the library should be an expression of the community's vision, the community's creativity, and you get this if you actively involve them all the time in decision-making and training and planning. And not, you know, having a focus group and saying, so what do you think of the website? And, you know, to which they will tell you, I think you should have the weather report on your website because it's the first thing everybody can think of, even though they will never come to your website to look for it. This is like the Topeka fan club here, but I look to find and how to contact library directors to ask if I can use their slide. And as you know, I can never find you. I mean, you must be a group that is tremendously afraid of stalkers or something. So, my God, I click on this place on the Topeka website, and there they all are with their pictures, their actual phone numbers and email addresses. Anybody else doing this? Well, good for you. Couple, as you see, not many. Hey, it's their library, right? Truth number 5, great libraries practice rapid recovery. From Netflix, there are 2 types of necessary rules. Number 1, prevent irrevocable disaster. Right? Financials are produced wrong. Hackers steal your customer information. Or big moral, ethical, legal issues, dishonesty, harassment. Mostly, though, our model, we're in the creative business. Our model is rapid recovery. Okay, so what is, you know, so if you are looking for that zero mistake suitable to, what, brain surgery, firing off rockets, and everybody gets to see when it goes up in the sky and comes right back down again. There's a pass-fail, if ever there was one. Just fix problems quickly. We're not in a safety critical market like medicine or nuclear power. You may have heard that preventing an error is cheaper than fixing it. Yes, in manufacturing or medicine, but not in creative environments. If you are making no mistakes, then you're not trying enough things. Netflix says good versus bad processes. Good processes help talented people get more done. Bad processes try to prevent recoverable mistakes. Permission needed to hang a poster on the wall. Get 10 people to interview each candidate. You can tell it's Netscape because they say get pre-approvals for $5,000 in spending. Okay, so how about this? We discovered when we went to our automated sign-up for our programs that even though the sign-up was automated, that people had to get 17 different approvals, just like when a check was written. So we decided if we wanted something to happen fast, it was going to have to be free because the approval process was endless to attend a webinar. All right? See if you still have that. Houston Public Library solves problems. Is there anybody here from Houston? Oh, great. All right. Houston responds to any customer complaint within 3 days. This is their goal. The low-hanging fruit they handle right away. as they say. But sometimes one of their issues were people complaining that it's a downtown library, I come in my lunch hour, I can't get out, because the staff is at lunch on their lunch hour. So the library is less fully staffed on the lunch hour. So that they didn't solve that problem in 3 days, but they get back to the person in 3 days. They work on uniformity of response. They have selected phraseology for given situations, like, I'm sure I returned that book. And you don't say, oh, no, you didn't. But if the staff makes a change and the customer goes away happy, the worst thing that happens is they might suggest a different approach. They might revisit the policy to see if it still makes sense. So doing things this way means you're constantly refreshing your policies, and you have, as they said, fewer people going to city council to complain about the library. Truth number six, great libraries seize opportunity. This is the greatest story. Houston won a prize in Texas for this. Children's Zone for Employee Emergency Relief Project. When Hurricane Ike hit Houston, everything, nobody had any electricity, everything was a total mess. And quite quickly, the city employees had to go back to work. So the Houston Public Library agreed to do daycare for every child of a citizen, of a city employee at the library. Teens were in the team room. Little kids were in the children's area and the large meeting room. The children recovered a sense of security and balance in their lives through the structure of the program. This was a two-week library experience for more than 600 public Houston library staff, 217 participating city employees who had to bring their kid to the library and pick them up from the library every day. Seeing the library, I mean, is this not an opportunity? Along with all the people who were over at the library charging up their phones, their laptops. You know, you seize opportunity. Houston Public Library collaborates. Houston is the real deal. They are in regular contact with the health department and parks and recreation, which, as their director says, with whom we share constituencies. The new Vinson Neighborhood Library partners with the Houston Health Department. So it's a health department facility and a neighborhood library. The Kendall Neighborhood Library was built with parks and recreation and includes a half-court gym. HPL Express, which is a self-contained, branded piece that's a lot of technology, small book collection, is housed in existing buildings, multi-service centers. They can connect neighborhoods at a fraction of the cost. And as Dr. Ray Brown Lawson says, you know, it's good to be in contact because then you're in when the decisions are being made, not afterward. Truth number seven, great libraries have heart and soul. That's something extra. Joseph Michelli at the OCLC Symposium at the last annual conference said, emotional bonding, a heartfelt connection, makes it three times more likely that customers will stay loyal. The ideal, according to Joe, was flawless service delivered exactly as people want in an atmosphere of caring. And he says, as you know, flawless service is difficult. Delivered exactly as people want is difficult because people want different things. He said, but there's no excuse for not caring. And really caring and looking like you cared, or at the very least, pretending to care. This is the homepage of Rangeview Library Systems, Anythink, a revolution of Rangeview Libraries, and you have a choice of words. It says up there, find your words, find the color you want, and put them on the website. So here is something that someone had up there, font from Colorado mountains to your soul. Adventure can be inspiring. It looks like they had another word with a ing on the end. I can't go there without adding something to the page. Look at this. Anything can dazzle. Think mountains, think Colorado. It's just, you know, it's fun. You're putting something up there, and it's not technologically difficult. This is, if you saw the program yesterday, you saw the sports bookmark, but my favorite is romance. This is bookmarks. This is. Do you have this on the flags outside? They have flags outside their building. The designer, the person who came up with these words is any heroine, any open heart, any unconditional love, any lonely night. Want romance? The whole place is head over heels with it. From Jane Austen to Harlequin, just drop by, look for anybody wearing an Anythink logo, and ask. Wouldn't you just do anything for this place? The sports star ones are great, you know, any cereal box, any this, any that. They have romance. I love the horror one, which says, just look over your shoulder. Find anyone with an Anythink logo and ask. This is Princeton Public Library's Art Mall. When you walk in, it has all kinds of things designed by kids in Princeton. It has an old Princeton parking meter. It has I think that's a squash racket. Let me see. Yes, does that look like a squash racket to you? It's some kind of racket. Every kind of thing. You know, you say, welcome to your library. This is your library. This is art. To me, it says, this is Princeton. Back to Houston. I first got acquainted with Houston Public Library because somebody said to me they have the greatest annual report. And it's on their website, and it's on a program where it turns the pages and the whole deal. So I go to the Houston website, and there's Dr. Lawson, and I think, oh my God, it looks like she's shushing people. I mean, really? And you open the page, and it says, shh, has left the building. Today's Houston Public Library is a place where bold voices are welcome. It's vital and vibrant, hub of our community, where everything from cultural performances to multilingual seminars to the non-stop clicking of keyboards can be seen and heard every day. Let's keep up the volume. I love it. Truth number 9, great libraries look cool. Fayetteville Public Library. This was the first LED silver registered building in Arkansas. If you look at the Fayetteville page, the library is terrific. It's got wonderful views of the outdoors. So besides everything being made from recyclable materials and everything, it's just cool looking. You know, it's San Jose Public Library. A picture I've had for a while, but a goodie. You know, merchandising, gondolas. Great way that they have the gondolas arranged in a nice curve that follows the rug. If you buy gondolas so that you can show face outs, you do not want to line them up in a parallel way as if they are bookshelves. This was our project, Mount Laurel, New Jersey Library. Cost $45,000. You can't do anything for $45,000, right? A three-way split. This was a beginning of what you're now seeing in other places. You know, Rangeview isn't using Dewey anymore. Well, this was their shot at just taking things out of, you know, that they thought people would like, home and garden, whatever, putting a sign on it, putting it out there. And their CERC went up 40%. As people said things like, geez, you have home and garden books. I mean, they think, well, what did they think we had? Because people don't go into the numbered books once they're off the new book area. So these were new, home and garden, but new was interpreted in a very liberal sense. It looks cool. The books are the star. You know, you walk in, you see them, they're it. I love this picture. Monroe Township in New Jersey built a wonderful new addition. You can't really see the addition. And one of the great things they have is beautiful landscaping outside, which you can't really see because it's February when this picture is taken. But what makes it, to me, such a beautiful picture, let's see, how many things can we spot here? She's got her own laptop. She's listening to her iPod. She's got a bottle of water. Yes, bag of chips. Feet on the laminated indestructible furniture. She's got her shoes, her little rubber beach shoes up there on the... I mean, wouldn't she like to be her? See, this to me is a picture of the library. And look at this. How many library resources is she actually sapping away other than the sitting in the chair? Nothing. She's got all her own stuff. I think... How many of you think that you could find a picture like that in your library? Terrific. My last place where people argued about eating or no eating and how the rats would come and all the kinds of things, and people were very, very on each side. And then somebody said, well, I guess, you know, the rats probably not, because, I mean, they're eating all the time now anyway. Well, there you go right there, right? This is Atlantic City Free Public Library. If you have seen pictures of the Imagine-On multi-million-dollar facility at the Public Library of Charlotte in Mecklenburg County, a beautiful facility that involves children's teen services and a place that's just for teens. Well, this was a much, much cheaper, tiny replication in South Jersey, as we like to do. This is the Atlantic City Free Public Library. An artist designed this amazing piece there that looks kind of like graffiti. The kids picked the term imagine. I think the library picked something like education or learning. The kids said learning. Well, want learning. They helped. They came with the artist. They painted the mural. They don't have a lot of extra staff, so they have these plexiglass. But it's not glass. If you throw another kid through it, nothing happens. So it's just plastic. So that somebody can be seated out at the youth services desk and can kind of look in. Only teens. And they did what we've heard at other places. They found that teens sometimes didn't have a library card because they had an overdue book from the fourth grade. So, hey, clean start. Everybody gets their card. They get a little lanyard. They put the card in when they're in the teen-only room. They have tours sometimes during the day for the tweens so they can see what they'll be getting when they can get in the teen room. Pretty terrific. Paco Underhill, the great, you know, what we buy, where we, you know, the great shopping guru. I got to have lunch with him. And I said, so, you know, if you could refine this down to what you do. He said, well, we watch what people do. We record what people do. We interview people and we combine stuff. Hey, you could do that. He said, the watching is key, because if you just ask people what they do, who knows what they do? Right? I mean, you don't remember. Do you turn left or right? I don't know. No, they watch to see. Do people walk? Do they look in? Do they walk away? Do they come to a certain area and just walk around, but they don't do anything? Change your look online. Have that cool-looking website. Make your impression on your homepage. Try out social media. And by try out, I mean, you know, see what works. If nobody reads your blog, see if Twitter works. You know, some libraries have had more luck with different media. This is my favorite, Vancouver Public Library's website. A huge amount of real estate there. On the homepage are these pictures, which are taken in the Vancouver Public Library. These are not the clip art of the guy you see in every library in America, or, pardon me, the child. This is an actual guy there at the Vancouver Public Library. I would certainly go over there to see him. Every picture has a quote, and every quote has a link. So this one says, wireless internet, my laptop and libraries are all I need. Ah, too bad. And then there's a link, how to use VPLs wireless. Vancouver Public Library, you probably can hardly see it, but down there in the bottom, there is a picture of their gorgeous building. It's a mushy, softy building. It looks like the Coliseum. You notice how that is not the heading of their homepage? So if you feel that your low-bid cinder block building is so gorgeous that it has to occupy all the space on your homepage, I think it doesn't. You see? Theirs is only on there because they're saying the branches are all open during the Olympics. So, and they get, look at all the, they have done a lot of testing of this. They have separate search boxes for searching the website and searching the library catalog because they found having the one didn't work that well. They have a cute little Insouciant logo over there that's just VPL in the little boxes. They have many choices along the top. So, you know, there's a lot of choices up there along with fitting in the picture. This is a great one. Having the library to come to has been a blessing. I would say Paul doesn't look particularly affluent in that picture. Pretty cool, huh? Having the library to come to has been a blessing. Learning and playing is fun at the library, Karen and Lucas. And the link is attend a children's program. I found a great example of stained glass for my home renovation. That's Peter. So, hey, you want, you know, is this the guy you want to get into the library? Yeah. So maybe if you saw his picture on the homepage and realized that he's not just not stopping by to get another Jane Austen, you know, that'd be pretty good. VPL is using Twitter. They've had good luck with Twitter. And that's working for them. This is Central Rappahannock Regional Library in Virginia, and they got the whole deal there. They're on Facebook, Twitter, and assorted other things. But just their regular old page where they say, you know, contact us, phone us, chat with us, suggest a title. It's all very simple. Personalized library services. So anything you might want, they've got it. I always love to say, librarians love to find answers. Hey, and most of the time they do. This is their blog. This is Hoover Public Library in Alabama has a theater, a real theater with a real theater season in the library. Really cool. And a lot of things on their Facebook page talk about the theater. This is Ask Me Elmhurst, or Ask Elmhurst is using Twitter. And it's very interesting, especially because you're only seeing some of the answers and not all the questions. But it's so it's fun to see what other people are doing. Change your look. Change your look. Consider staff T-shirts, jackets, vests, depending on your part of the country. Houston has terrific red T-shirts. A lot of their things are red. If you're in a part of the country where people only wear black, black is nice. Black with a little logo, black with a pretty jacket. Rangeview has fleece vests from L.L. Bean. You know, really cool, edgy T-shirts. So they have a variety of stuff. Cool. Consider this. Consider things that fit your style and send your message. The biggest message you're sending is, I work here. Right? Staff often doesn't like things that say, I work here. But say occasionally. Occasionally some staff does not wish to. So if they don't want their name on it, then you have another cool thing with a, like a nice lanyard, bright color, goes around their neck. Hartford Public Library says, we're glad you're here. You know, something that just indicates that this person is one of the people you can ask because the bookmark is great. Just look around for anybody with this logo and ask. As opposed to just wander around hoping to find someone who will admit they work here. Smile. Smile. Nothing overcomes the drag of the Night of the Living Dead service expression. You know what I mean, right? The total no affect. I know these people. I know them from town. And some of them are really, really, they're all really nice people. They're really nice people. What happens? It must be that look we have when we're looking like we're busy or we're somebody. Or how about, you know, many of us, I clearly do not have a very, in repose, my face does not smile. I know this because in airports, total strangers say to me, so I guess you're having a bad day. And because I'm from New Jersey and I'm not being paid, I get to provide a suitable answer. Which is, you know, how about this hand motion? Does that work for you? So That means you know yourself. If you're somebody who just doesn't have that happy, pleasant look, then you're going to have to work at it. That's the whole point of being paid, right? Right? It is the job. Your library is as cool as your least friendly public service employee. And I have to tell you, however the building looks, it is especially interesting to be treated rudely in a very traditional manner in a really cool-looking building. And sometimes by a kind of young, cool-looking staff person who is still looking into that screen and saying, well, no, I don't see it. Silence, silence, silence. You know, so will we be doing something about that? Well, no. Are there shortcuts to looking cool? Merchandise. Put the books face out. There is no old cardboard book dump, anything chintzy enough that it will not make your place look cooler if the books are face out and people can see them. Paint. Pick a little piece, even if it's just a little alcove, and paint it mustard yellow or have one red wall or something. If you really hate it, you can paint it again. That's the beauty of paint. Hang a banner. Banners are just out of this world. Once you get that design that you're going to put on the posters, the bookmarks, whatever, hang a banner. Hang banners in town. Hang banners in the parking lot. Put some big pictures of people on your website and in your library. New Jersey has Snapshot Day, and it's just taking pictures of people in the library, getting their permission to use. They made wonderful posters out of just pictures of people in the library. People love to see pictures of themselves. Do a Wordle. I'm going to show you one of those. Smile now. All right, this is, you go to www.wordle.net, right, net. You type in a bunch of words. You can paste in words. You can paste in words from your mission statement. You can, these were, we had a planning session at SJRLC, that's us, and these were the things everybody had to draw, you know, a word and decorate it on a piece of construction paper. And these were some of the words people came up with. So we put them all in. A lot of people said innovative, and that's why the print is so big on innovative. Only one person said, so there's one that's like frightening or something. Tough, that must have been me. You know, so the ones that just one person said, eclectic, bang for the buck, you know, whatever, shiny, caring, fresh. You know, those are smaller. You can stack the deck by just typing in supportive more often if that's what you want. You have little color choices. Doesn't this look cool? Costs you nothing. You know, it's your first design element. Truth number 10, great libraries don't wait to be great. Five things you can start today. Set a simple, inspiring, and usable vision. Most of you don't have them. Start working with your staff. Something short. Something that somebody could actually ask themselves and say, you know, I mean, so is this who we are? Share it with your customers and potential customers. Make it a touchstone for all your choices. Number 2, develop core competencies, expectations of everyone at all levels to match that vision in terms of enthusiasm. So if the vision is, you know, that we are more than you expect, you know, that we are here for you, that our vision is a thriving Columbus, you know, so does all the rest of the stuff match that? Or is it 1955 on your job descriptions? Mine was last actually revised in 1982, I understand. 86. But I always say anybody who would read their job description does not belong in my job. But define the job you want done and celebrate what you want to foster. So somebody does something great, have celebrations, right? You know, celebrate and inspire the people who are doing these things. Number 3, practice rapid recovery. You know, quit this, you know, we will not have any mistakes. We will not lose a nickel.
I once explained to someone how much it cost to recover certain items and how it was cheaper to just let it go. I said, I'm doing the math for you here. Here's the cost of this, here's the cost of that. And she said to me, I'm going to pretend you didn't say that. Right? Because this is a moral issue. As we have seen, according to Netflix, it is not. Notice what doesn't work and respond quickly to customer and staff feedback. You have something you change, you put it out on your website, nobody seems to see it. You know, so you have two choices. Well, aren't these people fools? How many times, you know, we said it, yet they're not doing it. Well, here's another concept. Try something else. Number four, change your look. The cheapest thing you can do. Increase the coolness factor of your staff, your space, and your website. Coolness is not a function of age. Right? Hey, I don't think so. Number five, go the extra mile. Put heart and soul and a spirit of fun into your library service. You will attract more young staff people. Young people want a job description that says it's going to be fun. If you are my age, you are thinking, well, no, it's not fun. I mean, it's a difficult job. It's very challenging, but it's not fun. Well, that's just an interpretive thing. You see. You have to look at it, you think, go the extra mile, put heart and soul, a spirit of fun into your library service. If you have been to my other talks, you know that I always end with a sign, since I'm talking about taking down signs, Coast Guard parking only, others towed, will get your attention in Margate, New Jersey, there by the bay. That's an example of a useful sign. And the two very beautiful randomly selected children, as you see, they're getting taller, looking out at the bay, seeing the ocean as what you call, you don't say the shore or the beach when you live in Salt Lake City. You say you're coming to the ocean. You know, they are looking at the future. They are the future. And I would like to think, especially in the times we're in now, that you're going to be there for these kids and that the library can mean for them what it has meant for us. In the past, I have to, especially because of this talk, say thank you to Pam Sandley and Smith from Rangeview, Dr. Rhea Brown Lawson, and as you can see, the entire management of staff of the Houston Public Library that shared so much with me. Gina Millsap from Topeka and Shawnee County, Leslie Berger from Princeton, Kathy Shaw Green, the new director for Get Acting of the Mount Laurel Library, Irene Goldberg from Monroe Township, Maureen Frank from Atlantic City, Kay Cahill from Vancouver, and my management gurus, Marilyn Boria from Elmhurst, Donna Coate and Ann Haley from Central Rappahannock, Linda Andrews and Billy Page from Hoover, Alabama, and Renee Blaylock from the Birmingham, Alabama Public Library. And thank you to you all. If you have questions, come on up.